welcome to this month's Life Notes. This is Jesse Kohlhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Extreme Ownership, by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. As the SEAL Task Unit Commander, the senior leader on the ground in charge of the mission, I was responsible for everything in Task Unit Bruiser. I had to take complete ownership of what went wrong. That is what a leader does, even if it means getting fired. If anyone was to be blamed or fired for what happened, let it be me. End quote. There's nothing quite like a book written by Navy SEALs to make you want to up your own game. All those excuses in your head, out the door they'll go. In Extreme Ownership, U.S. Navy SEALs Jocko Willink and Leif Babin take us inside the challenges they faced in serving together in Iraq and the important leadership lessons they learned as a result. Understanding that these lessons could be valuable in helping other organizations, Willink and Babin formed a consulting company, and they now share their expertise with mere mortals like us. Whether in military combat or in business battles, the leadership lessons in Extreme Ownership are game changers. In this Life Note, we'll take a look at some of our favorite ideas from the book, including Extreme Ownership, the impact of leadership on teams, keeping things simple by prioritizing and executing one thing at a time, decentralizing command, and the important idea that discipline equals freedom. So let's get started with the first big thought, extreme ownership. It's all on you. Quote, on any team, in any organization, all responsibility for success and failure rests with the leader. The leader must own everything in his or her world. There is no one else to blame. End quote. U.S. Navy SEALs are a pretty inspiring bunch. They go through an incredibly difficult selection process and extremely rigorous training, perhaps the toughest military training and most rigorous screening process anywhere. One of the most important lessons we can learn from the authors is extreme ownership. Although easy to understand, this can be a very difficult concept to embrace. If you had siblings growing up, you probably learned to do the opposite of extreme ownership. If you pointed the finger of blame at your brother or sister, then hey, maybe you could escape punishment. It's his fault or it's her fault might have been your default position as a child. Now that you're grown up and you're a Lifebook member, you surely have become more self-responsible and learned to take ownership for the problems you cause. But what about taking ownership of what your employee failed to accomplish? Or not getting clear instructions from your boss? That's got to be their fault, not yours, right? Or what about at home? What about taking ownership of your child getting bad grades in school or the misunderstanding you had with your husband or wife? These situations can be more difficult to own because after all, why should you be responsible for something someone else did wrong or didn't explain well to you? Well, if you want to up your game and be a true leader like U.S. Navy SEALs, you'll learn to take extreme ownership. This means it's all on you, every bit of the responsibility. Willink describes his observation of this with the SEALs and said, quote, the best performing SEAL units had leaders who accepted responsibility for everything. Every mistake, every failure or shortfall, those leaders would own it, end quote. U.S. Navy SEALs are inspiring because they are the best of the best. If you want to apply their high standards to your own life, you'll need to start with extreme ownership. P.S. One idea for an action step came to mind when reading this section of the book. Take out a piece of paper and write two columns. Column one is excuses, and column two is extreme ownership. Now make a list of things that are wrong in your life and the excuse you are using to justify it. For example, I don't have time to exercise. Now next to it, if you were going to take an extreme ownership view of that, what would it look like? For example, I make time to exercise by eliminating mindless TV. Imagine what life would look like if you replaced all those weak excuses with an attitude of extreme ownership. Pretty exciting to imagine, isn't it? The next big thought, no bad teams, only bad leaders. Boat Crew 2, verses 6. Quote, The best teams anywhere, like the SEAL teams, are constantly looking to improve, add capability, and push the standards higher. It starts with the individual and spreads out to each of the team members until this becomes the culture, the new standard." End quote. The authors share a really interesting story about how the leader's effectiveness drives everything. During a Hell Week drill, teams of SEALs were in boats dealing with extremely challenging conditions and competing with each other to be the best performing team. Boat crew number 2 was doing great, operating well as a team and with a strong leader at the helm. They were consistently winning the challenges. Boat crew 6, on the other hand, was dead last. The leader of Boat 6 was clearly frustrated and seemed to be blaming it all on his inept team in the boat. However, when the leaders of Boat Crew 2 and Boat Crew 6 were swapped, Boat Crew 6 started performing extremely well. In fact, they came in second. You'll enjoy reading the full exciting story in the book, but the important point the authors make is that there are no bad teams, only bad leaders. Now, you might find the exception to this idea, especially if you've had to manage your own poor performers in the past. You know, the kind of employee that needs a lot of pushing and prodding and probably has a bad attitude on top of all of it. How could this be your fault? Well, guess what? It is your fault. If you continue to let this employee operate this way and perpetuate their bad attitude without doing anything about it, frankly, you're failing as a leader. Babin reinforces that, quote, "Whether a team succeeds or fails is all up to the leader. The leader's attitude sets the tone for the group. The leader drives performance, or doesn't." End quote. So if you're finding yourself grumbling about your team, first, go look in the mirror. Then, go do something about it. The next big thought: make it simple. Complexity compounds issues. Quote, "Combat, like anything in life, has inherent layers of complexities. Simplifying as much as possible is crucial to success." End quote. By now, you're probably familiar with the acronym KISS, K-I-S-S, Keep It Simple, Stupid. And you would probably agree with the fact that if you're in an enemy territory in Iraq with bullets flying furiously all around you, keeping things simple would be highly beneficial. And if you're trying to keep your business successful and competitive, unnecessary complexity is also something to watch out for. In their consulting work with one company, the authors found that a particular manufacturing bonus structure was so very complicated that the people it was supposed to incent were instead just totally confused. By modifying the bonus program to be much simpler, the situation dramatically improved. With a less complicated bonus structure, the workers could finally actually see how their bonus was calculated, and their efforts shifted toward producing more profitable products. In the war, if you don't keep things simple, you can get shot. In business, if you don't keep things simple, your business can fail. By the way, simplicity applies not just to the operation, but also to how you communicate. Willink writes, quote, "If your team doesn't get it, you have not kept things simple and you have failed. You must brief to ensure the lowest common denominator on the team understands." End quote. And Colin Powell once said, "Great leaders are almost always great simplifiers who can cut through the argument, debate, and doubt to offer a solution everybody can understand." So you want to be a great leader? Remember to simplify. The next big thought: prioritize and execute, one thing at a time. Quote, "On the battlefield, countless problems compound in a snowball effect, each challenge complex in its own right, each demanding attention. But a leader must remain calm and make the best decisions possible. To do this, SEAL combat leaders utilize prioritize and execute." End quote. Imagine being in a situation where you're surrounded by the enemy, with a man down, wounded and lying in the street, and the clock ticking on an explosive charge that would set off a huge IED blast, about to throw metal fragments everywhere. Pretty overwhelming, right? And what's your own version of this scenario? Perhaps it looks like this. You're late for work. You can't find your keys. You have one child with a bloody nose, the other crying because he wants to eat Cocoa Puffs for breakfast rather than the healthy organic fruit that you served him. Text messages are streaming in from your boss, and your dog just had an accident on the floor. We've all been there, at the crossroads of multiple disasters and total overwhelm. And it's not pretty, is it? The reality is, as the authors point out, you must pick which of these crises is your priority, which one you must tackle first, and execute on that priority before you can move on to the next one. You have to secure your position before you can rescue the wounded man in the street. You have to stop the bloody nose before you can deal with the Cocoa Puff crisis. You have to pick just one of these disasters, just one, and deal with that one first. Prioritize and execute, one by one by one. The next big thought: decentralized command. Empower decision-making. Quote, pushing the decision-making down to the subordinate frontline leaders within the task unit was critical to our success. This decentralized command structure allowed me, as the commander, to maintain focus on the bigger picture, coordinate friendly assets, and monitor enemy activity. Were I to get embroiled in the details of a tactical problem, there would be no one else to fill my role and manage the strategic mission. End quote. It can be really hard for leaders to learn to push responsibility down to their subordinates. After all, as leaders, we're the experts, right? And if we want it done right, we may feel that we need to handle it ourselves. As challenging as it is in business, imagine how hard it is to let go of responsibility when lives are at stake. A valuable insight that the authors offer is that human beings are generally not capable of managing more than 6 to 10 people, particularly when things go sideways and inevitable contingencies arise. They go on to say that, quote, those leaders must understand the overall mission and the ultimate goal of that mission, the commander's intent. Junior leaders must be empowered to make decisions on key tasks necessary to accomplish that mission in the most effective and efficient manner possible. End quote. So with that great insight in mind, are there some ways that you might want to restructure your own organization, if you manage one, to streamline decision-making and to empower decision-making down the line? Or in your family life, are there ways that you can empower your kids to have more decision-making and control within guidelines that you set? If you're trying to do it all yourself, not only will you likely fail, but the mission you're trying to accomplish will fail as well. The final big thought: discipline equals freedom. Striking a balance. Quote, nothing is easy. The temptation to take the easy road is always there. It's as easy as staying in bed in the morning and sleeping in. But discipline is paramount to ultimate success and victory for any leader and team. End quote. Discipline equals freedom. What a brilliant concept. In fact, Jocko Willink has written another book with that title, so if you're inclined, check that one out as well. Who doesn't want to be more disciplined? We know how important that quality is in helping us accomplish our goals and in building our character to one that we're proud of. Yet there's something a little bit off-putting about that word, isn't there? Discipline. It sounds so stifling. Willink writes, although discipline demands control, it actually results in freedom. When you have the discipline to get up early, you are rewarded with more free time. When you have the discipline to keep your helmet and body armor on in the field, you become accustomed to it and can move freely in it. End quote. The key, explains Willink, is to strike the right balance between discipline and freedom. In particular, when leading a team, you must be careful not to have so much imposed discipline that you prevent decision-making further down the chain of command. If managed correctly, discipline can lead to more flexibility and adaptability. By having a structured framework in place, you can be more flexible within that framework. If you're more disciplined about daily exercise, perhaps you can be a little more flexible with what you eat. If you're more disciplined about getting your work done during the week, you can have more flexible weekends. Give some thought as to how discipline might lead to freedom in your own life. This is a powerful idea that can truly be a game changer for you. So if you're sitting up just a little straighter, and feeling more motivated after this life note, you're going to love the book Extreme Ownership. Even though we can't all be SEALs, we can certainly apply their wisdom and take our own lives up a notch or two. And the good news? We don't have to go through Hell Week. We can just read this great book. Thank you so much for joining us, VIPs. We hope you enjoyed this life note and got so much out of it. Keep up the amazing work. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smarter.